The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello, everyone. What's up? I hope all is well. Welcome back for another episode of the QB Factory Reboot, brought to you by SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. We're recording on Tuesday, January 18th. It's about almost 11 o'clock a.m. and the Eagles 2021 season has officially come to an end. They have been officially eliminated from the 2022 NFL playoffs. They got blown out by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday afternoon. The final score 31-15. And if I'm being completely honest, this was a really tough match to watch. I'm sad that the season is over because it was fun talking about the team each and every week. And there's many different reasons to blame for this loss. Nick Sirianni's play calling, Jonathan Gannon's defense, Jalen Hurts struggled. But, you know, it's okay. We're going to look ahead to the future. On the bright side, the Eagles do still have three first round picks in the 2022 NFL draft. They have the number 15, number 16, and the number 19. So that's exciting news. But on today's episode, we're going to recap what we saw from Jalen Hurts in that wild card game, touch a little bit on what we saw from Tom Brady, and we're going to discuss the offseason. There's a lot going on with the Birds right now. Do they stick with Hurts? Do they go elsewhere? Do they look elsewhere? What do they do with their draft picks? So we're going to talk about all of that today. Don't forget to rate, leave a written review, subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow us on social media at BGN_radio, also on Instagram at Bleeding Green Insta. Also, we have some very, very exciting news today to share. BGN Radio has been officially nominated for a podcast award, and we really need you guys' help to vote. There's three easy steps that you can follow to vote for BGN Radio. If you are a lover and supporter of this podcast feed, I'm going to have all of the steps right in the podcast description for you guys to vote. You just have to register at sportspodcastawards.com. Go to the best team category and vote for BGN. So pretty easy, pretty straightforward. Help us out and vote for BGN Radio. But I'm your host, Rachel Prevett. I'm joined by my amazing co-host, the one and only QB expert, best to do it, Mark Schofield. How are you doing, Mark? What's up? Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday, Rachel. Congratulations to everybody at BGN for the nomination. I mean, it's an honor to be nominated. We'd like to win. So please, gentle listeners, please go vote. The ways to do that, Rachel is going to put them in the links, but she just walked you through it. It's pretty easy. Doing well. I'm going to kick off today with a song lyric. And there's a part of me that wants to, if not remind people, perhaps introduce people to the Cheers theme. Now, you all probably know, gentle listeners, you know, it's a nice, jaunty, happy tune where everybody knows your name. Dig deeper. Read the full lyrics. I'm actually not going to reference them because they're extremely dark. But our good friend Michael Kiss tweeted them out this morning. I will just snip one line from it, okay? And your shrink ran off to Europe, okay? That's a line from the full version of the Cheers lyrics. So if you think it's this happy, jaunty tune, it's a lot darker than that. But I'm actually going to go with Tom Petty today. Every day you get one more yard. You take it on faith. You take it to the heart. The waiting is the hardest part. And we, Rachel, have now entered the waiting part of the season. Because as you sort of teed up, there are decisions to be made. There's draft capital to be used. There are decisions to be made about Jalen Hurts, which I know we're going to talk about. But we're all sort of in a waiting mode, waiting to see what happens. We've obviously got some draft stuff that will start happening over the next couple of weeks. We've got Shrine Game in Vegas. We've got Senior Bowl. Then we'll roll into Combine, Pro Days, all of that stuff, which we will, of course, have covered for you here at BGN. But this is when moves will be made, decisions will be made, and we're just left to sit and wait.
I think that was perfect. Yeah. Off-season starts now, and we have a long way to go until the start of 2022 season. So I think that was a perfect quote.
Yeah. And, you know, I know we're going to get to it, so I don't want to step on your toes here. But, we're sort of in that waiting mode now where it's just like – and I know people have already started to dig in on where they think the team should go, and that's great. And we'll talk about it. But, yeah, we're in waiting mode now.
Yes. I chose lyrics from The Lion King, and I always butcher the name, but Rafiki, I think that was the character.
Rafiki, yeah.
Yeah. So the quote says, "Oh, yes, the past can hurt, but the way I see it, you can either run from it or you can learn from it." And looking back on this season, now that it's officially over, there were a lot of bright spots, but there were some areas of hurt and pain from it as well, especially as an Eagles fan. Because you don't know the future. Like, the future is still uncertain in regards to the franchise QB and head coaching staff, whatever you name it. But I think that there were a lot of lessons learned from this season. We got to see Jalen Hurts improve. We got to see Nick Sirianni and what he was able to do with this team in his first year as a head coach. So there were many bright spots. And I think that there are lessons learned that you have to take into consideration moving forward. Like, you can't just disregard some of the lessons that we learn. You have to factor them in order to make smart decisions moving forward, because you can make a decision that puts you backwards in regards to like draft picks or whatever. And we're going to get there, but taking consideration what you learn from this season and build on it.
Yeah, no, I think that that's well said. And, you know, with respect to this game on Sunday, watching it Sunday, rewatching it last night, and we're watching it again this morning. The overwhelming feeling that I had, and I don't know what you would say to that question, but was frustration in a sense. Like, all the things, and this is very Hurts-centric here, but all the things that we talked about over the run of this show, starting back in August to now, about where he needed to improve, how he was improving, the steps that he was making, you almost felt like he forgot it all. Like, you almost felt like he just forgot all the good development that he had shown primarily in the back half of the season, you know, and we could point to specific plays, we can point and break them down and stuff. But the reality of it was, when you see him forget to trust the pocket, when you see him immediately pull the football down, when you see him late with reads, late with throws, get sloppy at times with the mechanics, a lot of the throws that he missed high, that front foot, that front leg, and all of that was just kind of off. He just seemed off the entire game. And then he comes in after the game with the walking boot on, and you wonder, okay, was there an injury that was perhaps worse? You know, especially lower body mechanics, you have a lower body injury that can show up. But more than anything else, I just felt frustrated. And there were other things to be frustrated with. The defense, sure. I mean, that opening drive when they're playing 8 yards off and they're just giving up completion after completion in front of them. And they get his defense sort of adjusted a couple of times, but it just wasn't enough. Jalen Reagor, I mean, like, yeah. And it wasn't even just like the miscues on like punts and stuff. Like, remember last week we talked about flood concepts, right? Vertical, sail, shallow, right? Like, three-level read. You want to run it against them because they play single high coverage, a lot of cover three stuff. That's a great way to get that intermediate out open. They had one dialed up where you've got Devonta Smith, who's going to be open on that out route. Rager's running the vertical, and he's kind of like jogging. And so the timing of it sets up where the corner, who's supposed to get pulled deep downfield from Rager's vertical route, is still in position to make a play on the out, because as Smith's breaking to the outside, Rager's still just kind of working his way up the sideline. If he's 10 yards deeper where he should be, that's open. So Hurts can't throw it, and he has to check it down. And so people will wonder, why can't they throw it to Smith? They had stuff dialed up, but for a couple of reasons. One of them, Rager running that route that way, it wasn't open. And so for me, the main word was just frustration. I was just frustrated watching it all. I was frustrated watching it live. And maybe it's because I saw my team get absolutely destroyed on Saturday night So I wasn't in the best of moods. But for me, frustration was the word of the day.
I think frustration was good. And it was also just embarrassing because you already talked about it, backtracking to looking at Hurts. When you look at his box score, it doesn't look like – when you look at the stats, it doesn't look horrendous. But a lot of it he made up for in garbage time, which – didn't really do anything. Like, it was at that point too late. So looking at his numbers, he was 23 of 43 in his passing attempts for 258 yards with a touchdown and two interceptions. And it was just bad. You already touched about it. Decision making, timing, accuracy, everything that he had made progress on, making his reads, it's like he just lost it. It's like he forgot it all. So that was the most disappointing and frustrating part, because it's like we've seen how far you've came. But I do think it's important to getting the ball off quick enough. That was one thing that I was so freaking frustrated about. He's been struggling with that all season, but I think it was highlighted even more because they were playing the Bucs, and we know how good their pass defense is. They showed no mercy, so it made him look even worse because of how good they are. But I did want to throw this out there. I don't think that it is fair to measure his success based off of this game alone, because I know that because this was the last game of the season, right, of the postseason, whatever, the last Eagles game, it's easy to take this game and run into the offseason. All the commentators, all the hype is going to be surrounded on the last season, the last game alone. But I don't think that's fair, because there were a lot of games that he showed us this season that he did extremely well. So I do want to throw that out there, just keeping it real, because all of the headlines right now are talking about his performance solely from this last game. And that shouldn't, like, that didn't help his case, yes, because that's the last thing that you have to, base it off of. But at the same time, it's like, this doesn't define the player that he is.
Right. That's exactly right. That's well put. And I think Coach Sirianni sort of got into that, after the game. He was like, he played more games leading up to this. This is one of the 17 or so games that he played this year. Like, we can't take this one game and base all of the decisions that this organization will make about the quarterback position and about Jalen Hurts going forward on one Sunday down in Tampa Bay. Now, in a way, the frustration spills over to the offseason, because we're seeing it now. You're seeing it, I'm seeing it. People are using this as a basis for making conclusions about what to do about the quarterback position going forward. And no, I do think that you're right, that we need the context of the full season. We need to look at the fact that Jalen Hurts right now is a better quarterback than he was when he started the year. I firmly believe that. Now, that, the line is not like perfectly up, and there might have been a little dip at the end of it, but he's still above where he was. And so I think that's important. And I think going forward, one of the decisions this organization is going to have to make is the improvement we've seen enough? For me, I think it is. I think it's enough to say, look, Jalen Hurts is your incumbent starting quarterback for week one of the 2022 season, with all the rights to continue to earn that job and improve going forward. But I don't think it's a guarantee. Like, I don't think it's a guarantee, A, that the team views it that way. And I don't think it's a guarantee that Hill will continue to improve next year so much that he's certainly the franchise guy. Like, I think the franchise guy question is still an open question. But I do think from right now, from where I sit, he's the guy to start next year.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And I actually pulled a quote from former BGN radio contributor Ben Solak. He yep. wrote an article for The Ringer, and I'm not going to be able to read all of it, but the article was titled "Hurst is a Career Backup and a Spot Starts." So he starts off and it says, "Hurst should continue getting better, but I'm not sure the offense around him can get that much better." And he goes on and on and on. But towards the end, it says, "Hurst is clearly an NFL quarterback. He deserves more starts, more opportunities to grow, and better receivers. But on the path he's currently walking, Hurst looks like a career backup and spot starter. For a second round pick once billed as a running back playing quarterback, that's a great achievement. For Philadelphia, it's a good reminder. Hurts is a step on the path from the failed Wentz experience to another future with a yet unnamed passer." So, like, the uncertainty is there. I wanted to ask your thoughts on this. Do you think that Hurts has kind of almost reached his ceiling, like where he is like only going to be good enough to be a backup quarterback? Is he going to be able to develop into a starter in confidence?
I love Ben, and he's such a great writer. I don't think he's reached his ceiling. I think there is still a starting quarterback and a good starting quarterback in the National Football League for Jalen Hurts. I think that is still his ceiling. But I think the bigger question is, can he get there? And I'm not so sure that he can. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the trend that we saw this year, the guy that we saw like get into his third read, stand and fight it in the pocket, get into the backside dig and stuff like that we talked about, that guy showed me, that player showed me, those moments showed me he can be a starting quarterback in this league. But the guy we saw Sunday, no. I mean, it's all the issues and the concerns that you and I and everybody else around this team has had, which is he's pulling the football down. Like, go back and watch the Winfield sack, right? Mm-hmm. That was another one of those flood concepts. You've got the vertical. You've got Goddard now on the out route, and the out route is going to be wide open. They blitz off the slot. But the thing is, it's a simulated pressure look. So it looks like they're sending six, but they drop Vita Vea and Ndamukong Suh off into underneath coverage. They're only sending four. Boston Scott stays in. He doesn't release into a route. So you've got six to block four. Like, yes, you feel like a blitz is coming, and this is why simulated pressures are so good, because from a quarterback's perspective, you're like, oh, man, they're bred at six. They're gone. Like, your mind gets sped up. That's why they work, and that's what mm-hmm. happened here, because he immediately shifts into self-preservation mode, mm-hmm. where if he had just relaxed for a second, not dropped his eyes, and kept his eyes downfield and saw, oh, yeah, the two guys that are really scary, Suh and Vea, they're now in underneath coverage. Like, they're not even coming after you. Mm-hmm. Hitch up in the pocket, throw the out route, the sail route to Goddard. It's wide open. You've got a huge gain. Instead, he sort of pulls it down, starts running around, and he ends up getting sacked. Like, that's a career backup. I mean, that's a spot starter type of guy. Like, so Ben's exactly right mm-hmm. with that. Yeah. And so I think Ben's ultimate point is Hurts going to get the opportunity to develop and to reach that ceiling in Philadelphia, or do we see this organization get sort of squirreled by the shiny object of Russell Wilson and go after Russell Wilson? Yeah. And I mean, we had a fun little discussion in the group chat yesterday about Wilson recorded, ads with Gritty next winter, next fall or in spring or whatever, or him running up and down the steps to the Rocky statue before every game, or, nothing washes down a Geno's cheesesteak like my Russell Wilson miracle water. I mean, you can write the ads, write themselves.
Yeah.
Now, would you trade for Russell Wilson?
And this is where I wanted to go. This is exactly where I wanted to go. This is so freaking hard. Okay. Personally, I'm not going to switch up now. I've been riding on the Hurts train. So my mindset, and I literally was just talking to Kiss about this before we even started this call. I was saying, I feel like, yes, the option is Russell Wilson, because they're not going to go for Watson, hopefully, because that's a whole nother mess in itself.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers, I don't even think that's an option. But looking at Russell Wilson, I feel like the franchise, like Howie Roseman, okay, he probably wants that, Russell Wilson. But my concern is that there's other areas on the team that need to be fixed as well, that need help in better players as well. So I personally would stick with Hurts for the next year and use these three first round draft picks for defense. Yeah. And I've been talking about that the last few weeks. Linebacker, can we get a pass rusher? You know what I'm saying? Can we get a cornerback? Or, I mean, you could go for a wide receiver. I don't know if they're going to do that in the first round, but I think defense, because I feel like this is a team sport and Jalen Hurts can continue to develop. Like, he's in a good place. So if it was up to me, I would stick with Hurts for this next season and use those first three draft picks for defense.
Yeah.
But that's just me. I don't know. I'm not strong. I don't strongly believe that that's what Howie wants to do.
Right.
So I wouldn't be surprised if he goes for Russell Wilson, but.
Yeah. I mean, I'm basically where you're at. I mean, a couple of things we can sort of state here. Is Russell Wilson a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts? Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, for sure.
I think that's an easy one. Is Russell Wilson a better quarterback to the extent that it's worth paying perhaps all three of those first rounders to acquire him?
Yeah.
That's a tougher call.
Yeah.
And you, like you laid out, Rachel, this isn't a team that's a quarterback away, I don't think. Mm-hmm. They have other needs. It's not like, say, Denver, where I think you could look at Denver and say, they are pretty close. It's just the quarterback piece is missing. I think Philadelphia, like you said, linebacker, secondary help, another pass rusher perhaps. You know, we have to wait and see on Jason Kelce. Like, does Kelce decide to retire? If he decides to retire, he probably doesn't. I mean, that guy seems like, we've seen him sprint downfield earlier this year. I think he could play another 10 years. But if he decides to walk away, then the Iowa center, Lindbaum, like he looks enticing, I'd say, you know, 15 or 16. And so does Russell Wilson fix everything else if you have to give up all of that? I'm not sure that he does.
And that's where I'm at. I don't think that that would solve the problem. I don't.
Right. And so here's my sort of thinking on it right now. Again, sitting here January 18th.
Yeah.
You've got three first round picks. Mm-hmm. You've got some teams, say, in the 20s that, depending on how things play out, maybe even early as 18, that might think, okay, we got to get a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And I know this isn't a quarterback heavy draft. It's not the time to do it. But when you start getting into the teens and you've got, say, New Orleans at 18, mm-hmm. you've got, you know, Pittsburgh at 20, Vegas, depending on what they do with Carr at 22, maybe even Miami at 26, although it seems like they're going forward too, who knows. But those are some teams that might sort of be in the, we got to get up and get a quarterback because we like the guy that's sort of fallen in range. We're going to make sure we can get him. Mm-hmm. Spin 16, 15, whatever, slide back a couple of spots, pick up an extra future first round for next year. Okay. Now you'll still have three picks in the first round. Mm-hmm. And if teams start moving up to get a quarterback in the middle half of the first round, you'll see some very good players fall. Like, I love Ahmad Sauce Gardner. I think he's a tremendous corner. You want to address corner? I'm seeing him sort of in the 20s in mocks right now. You could still get him there. You could get, whether it's Dean or Lloyd, the linebackers from Georgia or Utah, linebackers, mm-hmm. off-ball linebackers tend to fall. You might be able to get one of those guys still after sliding back a couple of spots. You give yourself an extra first for next year. And then that way, if you go into 2022, you decide to go forward with Hurts, and we're sitting here this time next year, and we're like, yeah, look, we're throwing up our hands. It's just not the guy. You've now got two firsts.
Yeah.
And what people, again, draft classes shake out different ways. The grass always seems greener every single year. It's like next year's quarterback class is going to be even better. Mm-hmm. But it does seem like it's going to be a better group next year. And so you might give yourself two firsts for next year's draft to go get a Bryce Young or, you know, whoever the quarterback is in next year's draft.
Yeah.
So that's where my head's at right now. Like, you don't need to force a quarterback move here. You could build around Hurts, try to at least, you know, stock the, you know, both sides of the football, maybe acquire an extra first for next year. And mm-hmm. if it really goes south and we're all sitting there saying, yep, you know what, we gave it a shot, he's not the guy, now you've got two firsts to go get a guy.
I'm right there with you. Perfectly, perfectly said.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see if they do it, though, because I think you're right, Rachel, mm-hmm. in that how he's going to look at Russell Wilson and think, here we go.
Yeah.
That fixes it.
We know he likes sharp passers, strong passers. That's what he wants.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. I mean, but.
It's crazy because remember earlier this season, we were talking about a timeline. Okay. When, like, at what point we were looking ahead,
right.
given at the time,
yep.
we would say like, oh, Hurts is our guy or Hurts is not our guy. So it's like, dang, okay, the season is over, but I'm still not like ready to give up yet.
Yeah. You know?
So it makes me question, like, dang, Am I being too, you know?
Let me ask you this. Your percentage belief that Hurts is the week one starter sitting here right now for next year?
I would say like 80, 83.
Okay.
Because he wasn't terrible this season. That's what I'm right. That's what I'm looking at. Like, he wasn't terrible. So I feel like there's a strong possibility.
Yeah.
But I also wouldn't be surprised though.
Yeah. I mean, I'm at like 65%.
Okay.
You know, I was thinking about this way. I was having another discussion. You know, I've seen some people say like 51%. Mm. And, you know, I look back at my former life as an attorney, right? And you've got the burdens of proof. In a criminal case, we all know it, beyond a reasonable doubt. Or in a civil case where it's the preponderance of the evidence, more likely than not. And as I used to tell juries, like in civil cases, more likely than not, that's like 51%, right? I just got to prove this case by 51%, more likely than not. You might think that I'm 49% wrong, but that's all I need. It's not like a criminal case where I've got to prove like 99%. So if I were trying the case of, you know, state of Philadelphia Eagles fans versus Jalen Hurts, I'd much rather it be a civil case. Yeah. Like, more likely than not is where I'm at. I don't think we're at a sort of beyond all reasonable doubt situation. He's the week one starter. I do think the door is sort of open for a Wilson. I don't think they would go rookie quarterback in this draft.
No.
I think, you know,
none of them are strong.
Yeah.
So all hell would break loose.
Yeah, I mean, oh my goodness. Could you imagine? It would be great for the content, but I could not imagine what happens if they decide we're going to go all in on Kenny Pickett.
I'm going to dial back on my percentage if I'm being honest. Like, okay, more like a 70. Personally, I want it to be 80, but looking at the – in based off of like the three-word reactions that we did on Sunday, the fan base is split.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, you know, throw Hurts away onto the next. It's not like that's the majority. It's really split, you know? So you can see
it away. In sort of reading through Eagles Twitter, I think there are a lot of people that sort of recognize what we're talking about, which is, you know, Russell Wilson is great, but he might not fix everything. This rookie class is intriguing, but not anybody that you're looking at. If this were last year's draft class and they had the three first round picks, I think the discussion is easy. It's like, go get Trevor Lawrence, like go get any Justin Fields, whoever you like, go get that guy.
Right.
I think that's an easier discussion. But instead, no, they decided to roll forward with Hurts and stock up for this year's draft class. Mm-hmm. But the quarterback class isn't like last year's.
Nope.
And so now it's, I think, either Wilson or kick the can down the road another year.
Yeah.
I think Wilson will be enticing to this organization or at least some of the building. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of the fans, like you said, that are sort of waiting, you know, this giving up on Hurts probably doesn't make sense. It's along the lines of, because of the situation right now, it doesn't make sense to sort of go all in on Wilson and give up all that draft capital or rookie quarterback. We probably have to give this one more year and see.
Yeah, that's what I want. That's what I'm hoping for. But it's not up to me at the end of the day. So, you know, as much as
I'm just a guy with a microphone drinking some spicy tomato juice. Like, I don't get to make any decisions, kids. Nope. And I'm sure a good portion of you gentle listeners are like, thank God. You know, I get it. I mean, we'll see what they do.
I'm going to say the only thing is I'm hoping that this decision is a smart decision because, like I said, you can make a decision and it sets you back.
Right.
You know Howie Roseman's track record. This past draft class, he did good. You know, getting Devontae Smith, like that was good.
Yeah.
But prior to that, he hasn't made the best decision. So I just hope that he doesn't screw it up.
Right. And then, you know, there's a – I always try to remind people, the people that are making these decisions, they have bills to pay. They have mortgages. They have, you know, kids to put through college and stuff. And so there is a self-preservation to playing quarterback in the pocket, and there's a self-preservation to making decisions for an organization. And what – if you're a general manager, what do you think saves your job or keeps your job or whatever? Is it – sort of played it safe with Jalen Hurts and, you know, sort of stalking for next year? Or is it the wild swing for the fence and saying, look, I went out and got Russell Wilson. I don't know what more do you want me to do?
Yeah.
I got us one of the top five quarterbacks in the league. Coach Sirianni, got to coach him up now.
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, that's something that's also in the back of my mind, which is man, if you feel like you're on the hot seat, you take that swing for the fences.
Last question.
Yeah.
Do you think Nick Sirianni and the coaching staff have done all they can with Hurts? Like this season, we saw that in the beginning of the season, the focus was like, okay, we're going to try to throw the ball. But they saw that that wasn't Hurts' strength. So that's when they shifted to the run game. And they did what they had to do to build and make sure he was in the best place to succeed. But do you feel like there's – how much more do you feel like they can do to help him develop? Or is it solely at this point only is on Hurts?
It's not – it's interesting because you're right. Like, they made that shift in the midseason, Rachel. And I think that helped them win games, and it helped put Hurts in a position to be successful with the toolkit that he has right now. But he's got to take a step forward. And it's not like they're calling concepts that don't have stuff for him to get to on the backside, or don't have things that are breaking open if he just gives him, like, the stuff that the reads and throws and the routes are there for him to hit. Mm-hmm. So now it's incumbent upon him to start hitting them. It starts today. It started yesterday, right? And I am sure, look, I know Quincy Avery is private quarterback coach well. I am sure they're working on this stuff right now. Even if he can't go because of his foot or whatever, they're working on watching film and saying, look, man, I'm sure Quincy's in his ear right now. You got to trust this pocket. Like, four-man pressures, things like that. Like, you've got to trust your pocket, step up, hitch up, and make a throw. Like, and Quincy highlighted how over the course of the year, the stuff we highlighted, he was doing it. He got away from it Sunday for whatever reason, you know, comfort, injury,
I don't know,
defensive schemes. He was, you know, in awe of Tom Brady, whatever it was, he got away from it. He's got to get back to that. So I think really the work for all young quarterbacks, Hurts included, it's a January to August thing. Like you've got to put that. We all saw what Josh Allen did Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are now trying to say, oh, well, you know, we got to find the next Josh Allen. Maybe Hurts can take that year three leap like Allen took. And yes, Brian Daboll deserves some credit for it. And the continuity with Daboll and McDermott and Allen, that certainly plays a role. And Hurts talked about that now, like fourth offense in 4 years or something like that. But Allen also did a ton of work in the offseason with Jordan Palmer, working on mechanics, working on, you know, reading stuff out, like getting comfortable in the pocket, speeding up his decision-making and his ability to work through progressions. Hurts has to put that work in too. And I trust that he will. You know, he wants to keep his job.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think Sirianni, the coaching staff, did what they had to do to win games, but they also have stuff in place that he can hit on these concepts. Now he's got to get more comfortable and actually start doing that. Not just flashes here and there that make us think, yeah, he can be the guy. Flashes all the time that prove to us he is the guy.
Consistency.
Yeah.
We need that. And we've been saying that all season.
Yeah, we started with the first show, consistency, right?
Yeah.
And here we are.
Yeah, I mean, his, like you said, his third season starts, it started yesterday. So, and he said that in his press conference, in the press conference. So he knows what's up.
Yep.
It's just, I hope that he's given the opportunity to show us. And we won't know until April.
We won't know until we know.
Yeah, until we know.
Yeah. I mean, we got free agency in March. And so that's when things start happening.
Yeah. So, but we're going to be here to ride it out with you guys, you know, each and every week we're going to be touching on it, you know, keeping you guys updated on what's going on. So make sure that you guys stay tuned, make sure that you guys subscribe to our YouTube channel, like, leave a review,
vote.
We need your votes. We need your votes. So that would mean so much. And, you know, we'll be back next week to talk more birds, to talk more Jalen Hurts, and just keep you guys to talk draft. So,
fun times, kids. Fun times.
Yeah, worries, Mark.
And go read the lyrics to the Cheers theme, the full lyrics. I am telling you, they are dark and tormented, and maybe they'll make you feel a little bit better about yourself. Thanks for listening. Please go vote. And as always, kids, go Birds.